All right. Hey, can we give it up for our band this morning? Nathan, you guys, thank you so much. All right. Y'all can have a seat. You may be seated. My name is Tyler Crandall. I'm the youth pastor here at Commonway Church, and we just want to say welcome to Youth Sunday. Right? It's pretty fun. We've got students greeting you at the doors. We've got high schoolers up here giving announcements and killing it and making me look bad. We've got teenagers collecting the offering. And if you get too rowdy, we have a couple high school wrestlers that can escort you out. And that's not a threat. That's a promise. No, I'm just kidding. You know, over the two services this morning, we're actually going to have about 25 students that are going to be involved in some way in our upstairs service. And that's pretty cool. And a bunch of them are downstairs in Commonway Kids like every week or nearly every week. And so it's just, it's great. They are the best. They're the best around. And as Lisa and Jill and Christy and I, we were talking about this morning and we were planning it out, which, by the way, this morning would not be possible without them. Jill and Christy, they spent hours rearranging serving schedules so that we could get as many students as possible to be up here this morning. So a big shout out to them. And but as we were planning this morning, we had a few things that we wanted to make sure that we did. We wanted to first give our teens and our almost teens a chance to serve here upstairs, to highlight them, to make them a little more visible, because a lot of times they are serving downstairs and not around. And so hopefully, you know, they were nice and friendly and welcomed you and didn't get too in your face or anything like that. And if any of them did, just come talk to me and we'll make it like a teachable moment for them. The second thing we really wanted to make sure we do is to celebrate the class of 2024. There's students graduating from our church that attend on Sunday mornings. There's students who have been really involved too over the years with Commonway Youth or serving downstairs. They've served as, man, some of them started the moment they exited Commonway Kids and they're in middle school, they started serving. It's pretty wild. We've got people that have helped with coffee. We've got students that play in the band sometimes. And like I said, so many students help out with Commonway Kids downstairs. Some of them have babysat for small groups. And so seniors, if you're getting recognized this morning, would you please come forward and we'll kind of line up here. And then I'm going to keep talking while you do that. Thirdly, we want to hear student voices. We want to hear from our students. And so Will actually prepared the message for today, which I'm really excited about. I'm going to, you know, as I was walking in, I was scoping out my normal seat, and I was like, good, that'll be a good spot to sit and take notes as Will brings the word. Not really. I'm going to be doing a sermon. And then lastly, we just wanted to have some fun and do some stuff a little differently. So seniors, I'm just going to ask you a little bit about yourselves. I'm going to have you tell us, you know, your name, where you're graduating from, and what you've done here at Commonway, how long you've been involved, and then what your plans are moving forward. So we'll start down here.
Hello, my name is Will Kyle. I'm graduating from Delta, the best school. So,
sorry, my mic's still on. That wasn't supposed to be so loud.
Thanks, Tyler. Thanks, Tyler.
Sorry, I don't know what's wrong with me. All right, back to Will.
So I have, at Commonway, I've helped in the tech booth a couple times. I helped with Jingle Jam. I've done some stuff in the children's ministry. Mm-hmm. Future plans, right?
Yeah.
Okay, future plans. I am going to go to Cincinnati State to study aviation maintenance.
Very good. Thank you. Oh, yeah, good. I forgot to say we're going to hold our applause till the end, but
I'm really blowing it up here. I'm Jake Bilby. I'm also going to Delta, about to graduate, and I've just been involved here since I was pretty much born, doing different stuff, staying Commonway Kids and volunteering there, and then also I make coffee in the morning, so anybody likes coffee out there, you know, gotten pretty good at it. And
humble
brag. Moving forward, I'm going to Trine University, study engineering and play golf, so pretty excited for that.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Jake.
Morning, my name's Cove Ritchie. I'm graduating from Pendleton Heights. I do a lot here at Commonway. I'm up here playing drums sometimes. I help downstairs with the kids. And this next year I'll be taking a bit of a gap year and then heading to Colorado State University after that.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Very good.
Hi, everyone. I'm Nora Kayward, and I go to Westell. I've helped out in the downstairs with the kids several times over the years. I've also babysat for Tyler's small group for 1 year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the kids. That's what I like the most. And I am going to Ivy Tech for 2 years after I graduate to become an ultrasound tech.
Hello, everyone. I'm, like I said, Grace Flowers. I go to Delta. I have been involved here at Commonway for the past 3 years, and I also have babysat Tyler's small group for a few years. But after high school, I'm going to Purdue University to study political science kind of on a pre-law track, so very excited about that.
Very nice. And then we've also got a couple other people that aren't able to be with us this service. Amara Anderson is a recent graduate of Penn Foster High School and Summit Salon Academy. Amara has served with Commonway Kids over the years, and this summer she's going to be working as a lifeguard, and then in the fall she's planning to find her salon home. And then finally, Megan Cook will be graduating from Yorktown High School. Megan and her family have been a part of Commonway for years, and Megan has served in Commonway Kids, and in fact, she's serving down there this morning right now. She plans to attend Ball State University to study speech pathology. Part of what we wanted to do today, again, is just hear lots of different student voices. And so Olivia is involved with our youth group. She is a sophomore at Delta High School. And so she's going to read for us from Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates."
Thanks, Olivia. Thanks, Olivia. Man, these kids... There we go. These kids are just great. Over the past few years here, it's been a real joy and a pleasure to get to know them, to watch them grow up, watch them grow in their faith, to see them form this community that's really welcoming and caring and fun. And, you know, I know that there are some of you in this room right now that are youth group aged, but haven't necessarily gotten involved with Commonway Youth, and that's completely fine. You know, maybe you go to youth group at a different church. Maybe you're just really busy. Maybe youth group just kind of isn't your thing at all. And that's okay. I just want to remind you, though, that I'm here for you, that there's other caring adults here at Commonway that are here for you, that we want to know you. We care about you. And so I can speak for myself. I'm a text or a phone call away if you ever do need me. Okay, enough about the youths and their awesome youth pastor for just a second. I want to talk to all, thank you. I'm so glad you laughed at that. I was worried people were going to be like, what does this guy think he is? So what we're going to do now, we're going to get a little bit interactive. I don't want us to get wild, but I do want some participation. Are you with me? If you know, you know. That was from Jingle Jam. All right, so I want all of you adults and teens, younger kids, just hang on. I've got your assignment coming. Adults and teens, I want you to think back to your teenage years, and I want you to think about a specific memory, something fun or happy or funny, something that brings you joy from those years, something that's just seared in your brain. And I know that high school and middle school maybe were not the easiest of times for all of us. But when I say, tell me something about your teenage years, what's the first thing you remember? And if you're not a teenager yet, I want you to think back to when you were younger, you know, when you were in elementary school or preschool, and think about it, and then there's a 50-50 chance this will be a disaster, but I want you to turn and tell somebody just real quickly that core memory. Ready? Go. Don't be scared. This is a safe place. All right, good. I hear some giggles. I hear some maybe some head shaking, like, oh, I can't believe I did that. We all have things, or most of us have things that we can remember from those years. And remembering and memory and all that stuff is this really wild thing when you stop and think about it. Because our brains, they somehow hold on to this information from who knows how many years ago. And it can often retrieve that information in just milliseconds. You know, sometimes there's specific stimuli that will help us remember things. Like, show of hands, how many of us can smell a certain smell and then, like, we have memories that are tied to it? For me, it's this specific laundry smell that reminds me of my Grandma Crandall's house. You know, or maybe there's a song or some other kind of sound that when you hear it, there's a memory that's tied to it. Or you taste something, and it's like going back in a time machine. You know, I have my desk back in my office, and my wall, it's set up like this. It's a little bit crazy. It kind of looks like we're a few strands of red thread away from it being like I'm a FBI profiler tracking a serial something. Yeah, so it's a little bit wild, but I have all these pictures and all these little writings and things to help me remember. You know, I've got quotes from books and Bible verses and things from poems, drawings that help me to remember truths. I've even got some note cards that just straight up have something people have said to me that I don't want to forget, an encouragement or a challenge. And so often our minds are just sent into remembering by some kind of stimuli, whether we're trying to remember or not. Because sometimes, for no apparent reason at all, memories will pop up in our heads and we'll be remembering something even without trying to remember it and not sure why we're remembering. Remembering is weird and mysterious, and it can be a source of frustration sometimes. Like, when you're trying to remember what time your appointment is this afternoon, or when your friend's birthday is, or what the next line is in the song that you're up here leading worship for, that's happened to me before, or this happens all the time, why you walked in the kitchen just now. You get in the kitchen, you're like, what did I come in here for? You know, I think for some of us, many of us, remembering can be a source of pain too. Another thing that's pretty wild about remembering is that we serve a God who remembers. The God that we worship, the all-knowing, ever-present, almighty creator God, remembers too. And he encourages us to remember. In the NIV version of the Bible, the New International Version, the word remember is used roughly 230 times. It's around 180 times in the Old Testament and about 50 times in the New Testament. And in some of these spots, God is actually the one doing the remembering, like something is brought to mind or he's being reminded. And this morning, we're going to take a look at about four stories where God remembers. In Genesis 8:1, Noah is on the ark, right? Remember that story maybe from when we were in Sunday school? Noah's on the ark, and it's raining. It's rained for a long while. You know, things in the world that God had created and that he loved so much had gotten really bad. The world was being ruined by evil, and it broke God's heart. And so God was flooding the earth to kind of hit the reset button. He wanted to start over. And it says that the water was covering the earth for 150 days. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. A little bit later in Genesis 9, we read that God didn't want to ever do something like that again, and he didn't want to forget that. So he made a covenant, or he made a promise with all creation and with Noah as his witness that he wouldn't do that again. And to remind him, he set the rainbow as a symbol of this promise. God said in Genesis 9, "Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and I will remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." I just want to pause for a second and say, as a person who often has trouble remembering things, that is really encouraging to me, that God set a reminder for himself. I have alarms on my phone that go off every day to take my pills, to remember to stop working so I can go pick kids up. Every Tuesday at 9 a.m., I love this one, I have an alarm set to remind me to text Cliff to remind him to send out a set list of songs for that Sunday. And in comparison with flooding the whole earth, that all feels pretty small, right? Can you even imagine the whole earth is flooding again and God's like, man, I feel like there's something that I'm supposed to remember to do or not do. This is gonna drive me nuts. And then he looks over and there's a rainbow and he's like, oh yeah, I gotta not flood the earth again. I made that covenant. And I tell you, sometimes it's like my head is up in the clouds. Thank you. Another joke I was nervous about. So we serve a God who remembers. You know, he remembers really big, global, cosmic things. He remembers the covenant that he made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, a promise that Abraham would be the father of all nations and his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. We serve a God who is also deeply personal and remembers things like the longing of the human heart. There's a story where Jacob and his wife, Rachel, they're having trouble conceiving a child, but Rachel's maidservant and Jacob's other wives and their maidservants, they're all bearing him lots of sons and daughters. And then God remembers Rachel, and she conceives, and they have a baby, Joseph. The story of Joseph is this not at all PG-rated story of dreams and jealousy and brotherly betrayal and unintended consequences, but ultimately it's a story of God's faithfulness. For today, I'm going to skip through some of that story, but through a bunch of things that happen, Joseph ends up in Egypt, and then God uses Joseph to interpret Pharaoh's dreams and help him prepare Egypt for a severe famine that's going to affect really their whole corner of the world. So this famine, it eventually brings God's people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to Egypt. And once God's people are in Egypt, they thrive and they become this huge population. And then there's some turnover at the top of the pyramid, huh? In Egypt, and there's a new pharaoh. And he's uneasy about this huge population of not Egyptians, and so he makes them into slaves. And they're enslaved in Egypt for around 400 years. And I don't know for sure, but I can imagine that during that time, God's people might have thought that he had forgotten them, that he had forgotten his promises. And so they're groaning, they're beside themselves. And then God remembers and he rescues them. So God has Moses lead them out of Egypt and they're in the wilderness. And now it's actually the people's turn to do some remembering. Over and over again, they complain about things in the desert and they make boneheaded choices like making a golden calf to worship. And Moses often encourages the people to remember God and remember that God brought them out of Egypt. Moses reminds them of this again and again. And while they're in the wilderness, God gives them commandments and rules to help them live a good life and to be close to him. He gives Moses the Ten Commandments to give to the people and then lots of other commandments and rules as well. Like this one that Olivia read to us a minute ago. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Why would God want these commandments on our hearts? Why would we teach them to our kids and talk about them when we wake up and when we go about our day and when we go to bed? Why would we tie them as symbols on our body or write them on door frames and gates? So that we remember. One last kind of crazy thing about remembering that I've been thinking about remembering, is that it happens in the present. It happens in the here and now that we remember things. We're in a constant state of remembering while simultaneously being present in a present reality, but then we're also looking forward. We're also anticipating and planning and hoping and often stressing and being anxious, and it's all happening at once. And that just really blows my mind. You know, one of the other things that we wanted to do today, and it's going to feel a little weird because it's the same three guys that were already up here, but we're going to invite them back up to do just a little panel discussion. You know, I don't know that these guys have ever had the commandments tied to their bodies or written on their door frames or anything, but I do know that these three guys have been a part of Common Way, like, basically their whole lives. And many of you have had the chance to watch them grow up. You know, some of you that have younger kids, these guys have taught your kids in Sunday school. And so what we wanted to do was just have them come up here for a minute, and I wanted to remember with them. So Jake, Will, Cove, thank you guys for agreeing to do this. You may feel like you didn't have much of a choice, but you could have told me no, and I appreciate that you said yes. It's not lost on me. So, you know, you guys are Common Way lifers. You've been here your whole life, and so I'm just curious, what are some of your earliest Common Way memories?
I think as far back, I mean, I have, like, very, very distant memories of, like, the original Common Way that, you know, Matt started, but I think what I really remember is probably, like, just running around the Horizon Center barefoot with Silas Carter and getting yelled at because we were too loud.
Sure.
But, yeah, I think that's about as far back as it goes for me.
It's good. But how about you, Will? What's an early memory from Common Way?
It's a very short memory because I was,
okay,
like, it's real young. But it was, you all remember the 180 building at the original, like the very original building? You guys remember that pinball machine in there? I don't even think I knew how to play, but I was just sitting there messing with the pinball machine, and Barb Williamson came up and started talking to me. Couldn't tell you the conversation, couldn't tell you anything else. I just remember, oh, that's Barb.
What a legend. Good.
So, I mean, some of you might remember, but we didn't always have our own place where we could leave the seats down, and so my earliest memory was helping set up in the morning, which definitely wasn't my favorite thing, and taking down after every service. So me and God were not on great terms then.
But oh, really? It was a strained relationship.
Yeah, it was a rough morning.
When you were a kid, you were like, God, these chairs are heavy.
Why do this every day?
And he heard your groaning. No,
yeah,
okay. So those were earliest memories. What are some of your, like, just fondest, like, best memories from Common Way?
So in middle school, we used to always go to the Mix, like, youth camp, and I just loved that trip always. Got to be with my friends, they were all there, and my brother and his friends, so just really good time. I loved the worship there, and I just felt like I grew a lot closer during that experience.
Mine's a little more simple.
Okay.
So a couple, 2 years ago probably, we, as the youth group, did this whole four square tournament out in the back parking lot over there for like 3 hours.
Yes.
And it wasn't anything like over the top or like the most exciting thing I've ever done, but like it was such a good memory. It's like something I'm going to be able to cherish for a long time.
I'm not going to lie, this one was really hard for me because I feel like I've opened myself to letting it, like, accepting that there will be like new memories all the time. And, like, it's really, really hard to pick just one. But I think if I had to choose, probably our first trip to Camp Bearkell was really fun. It snowed. It was ridiculously cold. And we had a great time. And it was not the one that I got sick on. So
yeah, that
makes it
too.
A lot better,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, Camp Bearkell is this church camp in northern Michigan that we got to go to a couple winters. It was a lot of fun. I think for me, I'll just share a quick memory too. I've been getting breakfast with these guys and another senior almost every Friday morning since they were juniors, and that's been a really special thing for us. And just watching them, I don't know, just watching us all become closer friends has been really cool. And then with Cove, man, there's a lot of Sundays. There were a lot more. I don't know what's happened to our schedules, but a lot of Sundays I would be on bass and Cove would be on drums. And yeah, as a rhythm section, there's just something really special about that. So, all right, so that's kind of the past. What about in the present? What is something that you're learning from Jesus or about Jesus right now?
For me personally, I didn't mention this, but I'm taking a gap year and then attending Colorado State University. But you know, there's a lot of uncertainty moving so many states away, and I think right now he's just he's allowing me to be patient with myself, and you know, kind of I'm putting my trust in him and knowing that, you know, wherever I end up, wherever I go, that, you know, I'll always have a family here and I'll always make a new family wherever I end up.
That's great. But.
So I, for the longest time, have attended FCA, so it's Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and that has really translated to being able to find Jesus through the sports I play. And I feel like the biggest lesson I'm learning currently, because golf is hard, is patience through golf. You can go out there and have a really great day, and then you go out the next day, and it's like you've not played golf in 5 years.
Yeah,
so.
I get that.
Yeah, like the biggest thing I've been learning is that you have to try in the relationship, and I think that's when it's been so great with Tyler and meeting up for breakfast. That's just been another opportunity to really talk about our faith, and moving on, I know that's not going to be always as easy because we're not going to have a great youth pastor like Tyler to help us out. He's going to really reach out. So just staying active and continuing that relationship is very important.
All right. Let's start with Will this time. Will, looking ahead, what are you looking forward to as you enter this new phase of life?
So with going to college, the way that this program works, there's no dorms. Like, I'll be basically a fully independent adult. I'm a little scared, but also, like, I'm also excited because this is going to be a really good opportunity to learn some new stuff about myself that I've not had a chance to explore, because I've always had parents, like, that right down the road or
breathing
in the
down
same
your
building
neck, you know?
When I'm at school. So that's what I think I'm most excited for.
Cool. Either way, you choose.
I'll go back to you.
What are you looking forward to in this new season?
So Cove mentioned, like, the uncertainty of it, and that is scary, but I'm also looking forward to that. I feel like a lot of my life has been fortunately very stable, and I'm just excited to have new opportunities, and just not knowing what's next I think will be really cool, and see where my faith and my school and everything else takes me.
Mm-hmm. Cove, something you're looking forward to in this new phase?
It's I think I'm just looking forward to the new life, you know? Like, again, the uncertainty is exciting, and you know, my dad and I, we do a lot of kind of adventure stuff, and there's a lot of that out in Colorado. So
yeah.
I'm excited to you know, go out and be with people who are very similar to us in that way. And so I'm excited for new connection.
Very good. And kind of our final question here is a little bit of looking back, but a little bit of looking forward. What is a word of wisdom or a piece of advice that you would give to the next generation, to those students that are younger than you?
Yeah. I mean, there are going to be a lot of times where life is really hard, you know? I mean, we've all got struggles that we go through and, you know, difficulties in our life. But, you know, from that, there are always points where we can strengthen not only ourselves, but, you know, the people around us as well. So I encourage you guys to find the good in, you know, in the things that are hard, and make the good from it.
Good.
So I would say this advice is more toward people getting ready to go into their final years of high school, or maybe even starting high school. I promise you, 9 times out of 10, you're doing better than you think you are. If you'd asked me, like, middle of sophomore year, I would have been like, oh, there's a chance that college might not happen. Like, I was like, this is not going well for me. It turned out okay. I got into college. This is going well so far. You got it.
So, yeah, so Cove mentioned the hard times, and I think all three of us up here have had hard times. And the thing that comes out of those hard times usually is some good relationships, and I think that's important for, you're probably going to experience some hard times, and just value the relationship that comes out of them, and you'll grow a lot closer with God and the people around you.
Yeah. Well, let's give it up for these guys. Thank you so much. All right. Thanks, guys. Three pretty cool cats, if you ask me. It's just really good to remember, isn't it? To look back and remember. And remembering was God's idea. He knows the power of remembering, and I'm really grateful that Jesus invites us to remember as well. And as we close our time together this morning, I can't think of a more appropriate practice than sharing in the Lord's Supper together. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." When we practice communion, we are remembering all that Jesus did for us. We remember how the God of the universe took on human flesh, coming as a newborn baby and growing up and walking among people as Emmanuel, God with us. He ushered in a new kingdom and invited us to join him in the work of redeeming it. And he eventually died, taking on the sin of the world and bearing our guilt and our shame and our sin. And 3 days later, he rose again. I want to invite Nathan back up. And as he gets ready to lead us in a final song during communion, I want to invite all of us to pause and just make some space and to prepare our hearts for what we're about to receive. You know, we've talked a lot about remembering, and I just want us to pause and be present. So lock into the present with me. You can close your eyes if you want to, but you don't have to, and I just want us to sit for a moment and notice. Notice your breath. Take a couple of deep breaths in and out. Notice the chair under you. Just notice that you are here. And God, we know that you are here too, and you are present with us in this moment. God, help us to hear you and feel you and receive from you a word or a picture or a thought. So I want to invite God in. God, what is something that you want me to remember? God, what is something true about you or about your posture towards me that you want me to remember? And I don't know how that experience was for you, but I hope you were able to connect with God and that you'll leave here today with something about him that you want to remember. So we're going to move into our time of communion now, and I would like to invite our communion teams to come forward. We're going to have three stations, and over here on the left, you'll line up kind of along the wall there, and you'll take your elements, and then you'll head back to your seats. And over on this side, same idea, against the wall, and then back to your seats. And here in the middle, I think they're going to be about here, and you'll go around this way and then back to seats. But As we take communion, Nate is going to lead us in a new song that's called Take a Moment. And let's do this and remember the truth that God wants us to remember. Let's do this in remembrance of Jesus.